Well, hello and welcome back to the Leadership Loop podcast. So to all you moms, dads, young and old, welcome back. Over the summer, I'm going to be sharing shorter episodes centered around what I'm currently learning. So today we're going to be exploring the subject of freedom so that we can learn to live, love, and lead a little bit better. Have you ever noticed how many people are in bondage to stress, fear, anxiety, discouragement, burnout? I remember when I was a youth pastor for 6 years, I made friends with other youth pastors, but they would come and go because they would burn out from the fear, the anxiety, the stress, the discouragement so quickly. And you can really look around at our society and see how many people are in bondage to these things, just by seeing how many people are coping with them in unhealthy ways, with addictions to food, substances, entertainment, all of these things trying to numb the feeling, the pain, the bondage that we're in to stress, anxiety, fear, discouragement, and burnout. And yet, Jesus said that he came to free us. He came to lead us into life to the fullest. So how do we square these things? How do we get past those? How do we live life to the full? How do we live in the freedom that Jesus invites us into? So today I want to share with you what I've been learning about that. And specifically, it's coming from a book called Set Free to Lead by Dr. Scott Rodin. And this is a book that you're going to want to pick up. You're going to want to read it and reread it again. I'm going to be sharing 3 of the 7 movements to go from bondage to freedom as a leader, as a person in your community, a person in your neighborhood, a person at your workplace. How do you move from bondage to freedom in your life? That's what we're going to be talking about. So again, I'm sharing just a few of these movements. You're going to want to pick it up to get all the rest. So here's the first. If you want to experience this sort of freedom, it's going to be moving from an owner mentality to a steward mentality. From an owner mentality to a steward mentality. You know, I have 3 kids, and the first words that most of them learn is mine. They're constantly saying, that's mine, that's mine. I constantly have to break up fights because they're fighting over what's theirs, what's mine. You know, as an adult, I really haven't gotten over that. I still will say, well, that's mine. That's my soda. Don't drink that, wife. That's like, that's mine. Don't touch it. Don't control it. Don't manipulate it. That's mine. Whether it's my idea, my reputation, that's my job, that's my kid, that's my wife, that's mine. And that's an owner mindset. And the problem with an owner mindset is it actually holds us in bondage. It holds us in bondage to this idea that I've got to protect it. I've got to get credit for it. I've got to control it. And Jesus wants to move me, and he wants to move you from an owner mindset to a steward mindset. And a steward mindset is simply this: everything, not just all that I have, but everything belongs to God. Every relationship, every dollar in my bank account, everything in my house, every vehicle that I have belongs to God. And if I'm a steward, then I want to do what God wants with his stuff, not my stuff. It's his stuff. One of the simple practices that I'm doing that's suggested from the book is just wake up every morning and say, God, everything I have is yours. What do you want me to do with it? Everything I have is yours. What do you want me to do with it today? This owner mentality that we are so often in bondage to sabotages the freedom that Jesus wants in your life and in my life. So for example, there's been so many times where I've had an idea, I've shared it, it gets implemented, and then I don't get the credit. Has that ever happened to you? And it's really easy to be frustrated by that, to be angered by that, because that was my idea. And because of that owner mentality, I'm now in bondage trying to get the credit for my idea. But when you're a steward, it's not my idea, it's all God's. The credit belongs to God, and you're free from trying to fight for the credit. And you're able to release that and just say, you know what, it's all God's. All the credit belongs to him, all the glory belongs to him. I don't have to fight for it. Another example of this for me is, well, those are my kids. And my kids sometimes do things that embarrass me. And when they do, I really want to control their behavior. I don't want them to do that anymore. And so I implement strict management on them to make sure that they don't do that again. But that sort of controlling of my kids isn't helpful for them. It's not helpful or healthy for me. And that's an owner mindset. But when I can have a steward mindset and say, man, these kids are God's, they belong to Him. I don't have to mold them to my expectations. I actually get to unfold them for all of who God has created them to be. Man, it frees me from trying to control my kids and just allows me to love them as God's kids and trust that God is going to grow them as I'm faithful to parent them in His way. Another example is that's my reputation. There have been times when people say things about me that irk me, that feel damaging to me, and that feel damaging to how people would see me. And it's really easy to try to control what people would say about me or try to protect my own reputation. But when you move into the steward mindset, you just say, even my reputation belongs to God. He's going to protect it. He's going to steward it well. So I'm just going to do the best that I can and trust that God is going to do what He needs to do for my reputation. He'll protect it. I don't have to. Man, there's so much freedom when you move out of an owner mindset into a steward mindset. I'm discovering that right now. And honestly, I'm fighting for it because it's hard. That owner mindset is deeply ingrained in me. And I want to become more of that steward leader, that steward liver, who is just so consumed with this idea that all that I have belongs to God. I just get to steward it faithfully. So there's the first movement. Here's the second movement, moving from viewing people as a means to viewing people as an end in themselves. I find it so easy to look at people and immediately start thinking about what they can do for me. Oh, how can this person further me? How can this person help me? What can they do for me? And unconsciously, I think all of us do this. We affix to each of our relationships a return on investment ratio. Here's what I'm going to invest, and here's what I expect in return. And you can notice this by how often you get frustrated or how often I get frustrated with my kids, with my spouse, with people at work. I'm expecting this from you because I'm investing this into you. And when I don't get it, I'm frustrated. And that's actually viewing people as a means to your own ends, to your own agenda, rather than viewing people as an end in themselves. And when you view people as an end in themselves, here's what happens. You start seeing people as on a journey. They're on a journey to go where God is taking them. They're on a journey to become who God is making them. And if we can see people as on a journey and we get to help them on that journey, God's put us here to speak words of life and encouragement for them on that journey. Man, it frees us from the expectations that we have for others. It frees us from that controlling mindset to get what we need. And we get our then freed to love them how God has designed us to love them. So here's a question, and I've been asking myself this, and you could ask yourself this. Am I having a positive, life-giving impact on everyone I come into contact with? Am I having a positive, life-giving impact on everyone I come into contact with? Here's another question. Am I free from my own agenda in relationships with others, or am I in bondage to that agenda? Do I get frustrated with them? You know, I sometimes forget that my kids on the journey to go from kids to adults. They're not adults yet, but sometimes I want them to act that way. Sometimes I wish that they would just grow up a little bit faster. And I think I do this, and maybe you do this with people too, where we forget that they're on a journey. We want them to be in one spot, but they're back here and we're frustrated with them. But if we can just go, man, you're right here. I love you. I want to help you. I want to get you where God wants you to be. Man, that's viewing people as an end instead of a mean in itself. Some great words of advice that I heard from Chad Veach about relationships, especially when they get difficult or when people are frustrating you, they're not meeting your expectations. He just said, stay sweet. Stay sweet. Don't let anger, bitterness, frustration allow you to actually harm people instead of helping them. People are on a journey. God's put you here to help them on the journey where He's taking them. Stay sweet, love well, view people as an end in itself rather than a means to get you what you want. Finally, here's the third movement that we're going to talk about today that I'm learning is moving from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. Now, a scarcity mindset is so easy for you and I to get wrapped up into, and I know it happens for me all the time. A scarcity mindset is when you look at what you have and it's not enough. When you look at what you're doing and what you're achieving and it's not quite enough. You look at what people are delivering to you and it's not quite enough. You look at your possessions, your finances, and it's not quite enough. And because of that, you're always trying to get more. And then you're in bondage to this desire to get more because what you have isn't enough. But if you have this abundance mindset, an abundance mindset says, I have enough. I have enough. I have enough money. I have enough stuff. God is good. God will provide. I simply have enough. And I'm learning right now to evaluate my own life and the culture that I'm creating around me. And I'm asking this, the culture around me, is it a culture of discontentment? Am I creating, am I exuding a culture of discontentment? Like what I have is not enough. What you're doing is not enough. Who you are is not enough. Who I am is not enough. Or am I exuding this culture of abundance? God is good. God's given me enough. I have enough. And one of the ways that you can actually start creating, that I'm working on creating this culture and this mindset of abundance, is just by celebrating success of all size. Even if what I was hoping for to happen was 10 times what actually did happen, if I can celebrate the little success, that's moving into an abundance mindset and saying, man, this is enough. God's good. It's enough for me. And so I'm learning this. I'm wrestling with it. I'm struggling with it, moving from that scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. I'm moving from worry about what I have to just being generous with what I have and saying, God will provide exactly what I need. These are three things that are really helping me right now to move out of bondage to fear, anxiety, stress, discouragement, burnout, and move into the freedom that Jesus wants for me as I live, as I love, and as I lead. So my hope is that you would pick this up, that you'd grab this, that you'd be encouraged by this, that you'd find freedom as you read this book, and that we could learn together about what it looks like to be a steward leader with everything that God has given to us. And it's in that mindset of a steward leader, that we find the freedom that Jesus has for you and for me. I'm discovering it. I hope you'll discover it. I hope you'll tune in next time. Subscribe, because we've got more of this coming to you soon. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you on the next one.